Well, welcome everybody. I'd like to first acknowledge there is somebody in this room who actually put shorts on to come to worship today. Thank you, Kurt Sowers, for doing so. As he's crazy. I don't know what he was thinking. He was actually listening when I said to everybody last week to wear shorts this week. Next week, everybody, let's wear shorts because it's going to warm up. Let's do that. We are in part three of the series Inspired, as you heard, six things God uses to catalyze or accelerate your faith. So we've been working through our core values each week, and we've done so in a way that's unique, because what we've said is now more than ever, the next generation of skeptics, but the next generation in general, needs to see the faith modeled for them if they're going to begin to believe at all. And so we set out this message, kind of introduce our new mission, actually, because our mission, it's been the same mission, but we reworded it to say that our mission is to inspire people to follow Jesus. And in fact, I gave you that as some memory work. And so let me check in on your homework and see how you did. Let's say this together. Our mission is to inspire people to follow Jesus, because life with Jesus is better, and following Jesus makes you better at life. And so it's really, really important. Now, as God calls you into that mission, he's also going to equip you, inspire you. That's where we're getting the word for this series, so that you can help others and inspire others to follow Jesus. So last week we said that one of the things that God does to inspire us is he puts people in our life that point us back to God. In other words, this is not a solo event, this faith thing. This faith journey for us is an all skate. We need other people. And when we have other people, especially when we have faith conversations with other people, you will discover that God communicates through other people in a very unique and special way and will point you back to him. So one of the first things that God uses that we need to remember to inspire your faith is other people. What else does God use to catalyze your faith? Well, I want to start by sharing, I bet I know this about you, and that is this, that you would love to see something different in 2021 than last year. Right? Isn't that true? We all want something different this year than last year. And I'm not even talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about that we would all like something different this year in some particular area of our life as well. I don't know what that is for you. Maybe you might want to be healthier, eat better, exercise more. Maybe you want to pay down some debt. Maybe you want to strengthen your marriage. Maybe you want to do better at school. Maybe you want to be better at your sport. Maybe you want to walk closer to God. Whatever it is, I'm guessing that almost all of you have some area of life, like me, that you would like to see something different this year than last year. Maybe you've put together some goals already, and you said, this is it. I'm going to do it this year, right? Maybe you started out strong, and you went for a while, but then, like most people in the world today, your kind of good attempts failed, and now you're back to where you were in the beginning. In fact, most of you have probably learned by now that New Year resolutions simply don't work. Why? Why is it that we so often have real good intentions and we want to change, but we find it so difficult to make the changes in our lives? Well, today I want to talk about choosing something called the greater reward. If you ever feel like you can't figure out why you don't do what you want to do, or why you do the thing that you promised yourself you wouldn't do, then you're going to be encouraged today, because the Apostle Paul, he's going to make you feel better about yourself. Remember, the Apostle Paul, who wrote almost a third of the New Testament, he was someone who kind of witnessed the resurrected Jesus, encountered Jesus. He also, I don't know if you know this, but he, through Christ, raised a man from the dead. He actually did that. You should read your Bible. There's some fascinating things in there. You can read that about Paul. But for as close as Paul was to God, and as effective as his ministry was, listen to what he says about himself, because I think it'll make you feel better about yourself. He wrote in Romans chapter 7, "I do not understand what I do." You ever feel that way? "I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, I do. He said, I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I can't help myself. I tend to do what's wrong anyway. It sounds almost crazy, but we would probably all sound that way. He goes on in chapter 7, what a wretched man I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Who can help change me? Who can help me be better? Who can help me stop? Now, to go on, let me shift a little bit and talk about something that kind of gets a bad rap these days, but if it's something that if you keep an open mind, God can use this to catalyze your faith in almost every area of your life. This will be so helpful in terms of your discipline. I'm talking about the gift of discipline. Now, I know as soon as I say the word discipline, you've already kind of said, oh, groan. I'm not really a disciplined guy. I don't really like being disciplined. I'm not very good at it. But I just want to ask you to have an open mind for a second. Because if we were to define discipline, let's define it this way. It would be discipline is choosing what you want most over what you want now. Think about that. Discipline is choosing what you want most over what you want now. Because it's interesting when you think about it. Most of us want basically the same things in many of the major areas in our life. You know, we want the same things. If for those of you who are married, we want a marriage that is marked by trust and intimacy. No one's ever written into their vows, I promise to never trust you or always be emotionally distant from you, right? That's not been put into any vows that I'm aware of, because we all kind of want the same thing when it comes to marriage. What about finances? We all want to have enough. We want some left over. We want to be able to save. We want to be able to give generously where we can. No one's ever said, hey, my goal is to be bankrupt in 3 years. No one's really, I hope, said that. So we kind of want the same things in these major areas of life, and yet the results are so dramatically different. Why is that? Well, here's why. Because desires don't determine who you become. Desires don't determine who you become. Disciplines determine who you become. Desires don't determine what you do. Disciplines determine what you do. In other words, hoping for a better life won't bring a better life, but it's the habits that determines your outcomes. Why is it that maybe we want to be more disciplined, but we end up failing? Why is it that we try so hard, and yet we fall so short? Well, one reason is this, is because willpower doesn't work. I mean, we think it works, but willpower doesn't work when you think about it. It's a lot like a muscle. You work out a muscle and you work it enough, it becomes fatigued and it more or less fails, or the strength wanes. And you know that to be true about your willpower, right? You have it for a little while. Maybe somebody brings donuts to the office and you're trying to quit sweets. And so, you know, you walk past it the first time, like, no big deal. I got this. You know, you walk past, and then you walk past it the second time, and you get a little closer because you just want to look at it. That's all. Because it's got all the stuff on top of it, the Snickers and everything else on it. It's one of your favorites. That's all right. It's okay. And then you walk past it the third time, a little closer, so you can, you know, just smell it. And you walk past the fourth time, and look, you just take a sliver of it. You just take a little piece of it. Have you ever done that? And you feel really proud of yourself because it's only a piece of it, and then you walk past the final time and eat the rest of it. But you think it's a victory because, you know, you spread those calories over the course of 35 minutes. They don't count as much, right? So what is it about willpower? Willpower doesn't work. Eventually, it fails. It starts to wane, and that's a real problem if you're a follower of Christ. Why? Because think about it. What we think we should do as Christians. We know we should do good to honor God. We know we're not supposed to do bad, right? We know we're supposed to be nice and serve and be generous and pray and read the Bible. And we know that we're not supposed to steal, not supposed to lie, not supposed to yell at the kids, not supposed to, you know, do stuff like that. So what do? We try and we try and we try, but eventually our sinful desires start to overwhelm our waning willpower. And what do? We give in. And without even knowing it, we look back and go, I took it, I drank it, I clicked on it, I said it, I bought it, I ate the whole thing. And listen, have you ever noticed right before you give in, there's a voice that you kind of hear somewhere back there, and the voice says, come on, it's not that big of a deal. Besides, you deserve it. You deserve it. And have you ever noticed that voice that on the front end, before you give in or before you do that thing, on the front end that minimized it, on the back end, condemns you for it? Wow, you're really, really a failure. Wow, you're never going to be financially free. You're never going to become healthy. Have you ever noticed that we connect our failure to our identity? That's why this is so important, because the key to really changing starts with your identity. Paul understood. Paul felt it. What did he say? Oh, wretched man that I am. I understand when you get into the cycle of you fail and then you connect that to your identity and you just think that you're always going to somehow be a failure, and then that actually promotes the decision the next time and you get caught in this cycle. Paul says, I understand that cycle, but I've got some good news, because what is missing is not a something, but a someone. And he says, I got good news for you, because thanks be to God, there is someone who can help through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the key. We have to start. You have to start with identity. You see, because otherwise, if you don't, it's simply behavior modification. It is not about trying hard. It's not about behavior modification. It's about spiritual transformation. It's not about trying to be a better version of you. It's about a greater power than you have. And that's the power that changes you from the inside out. And that's how you become the person that God wants you to be. It starts with identity. In other words, you are not what you did. You're not what you did. You are who God says you are. And because you're in Christ, he says, you're forgiven, really forgiven, for sure. And because you're in Christ, you are free. Because you're in Christ, you're an ambassador. Because you're in Christ, you even have righteousness within you, because you're in Christ. It was given to you as a gift. He says, you are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. When you know who you are, you know what to do. It's not behavior modification, it's spiritual transformation. You're not a better version of you. You become new when you recognize that you belong to Jesus. And so you might say, well, how can we even kind of go there? Well, the how to go there is something that we talk about all the time. We talk about surrendering to the life that God has for you. Surrendering to the life that God has for you is so important to understand. That's not about trying harder. It's about surrendering the fact that you can't without him. Every once in a while when we have services of when someone passes away and the family is kind of wrecked, and they say to me, I'm just trying to be strong. Just trying to be strong, get through this. And my response to them, and what I want to be able to say, is please don't do that, because you are not strong enough to be able to handle this. And you don't have to be strong enough. But if you take the weakness that you are feeling and you surrender it to God, you let God be strong for you. That's what it is to surrender the life that God has for you. You surrender to the Spirit of God that gives you the strength to do what you want most over what you want now. Paul talks about this in another way. He says, I want you to walk by the Spirit. The Greek word walk is a present tense verb, meaning it's a continuous regular action. It's a habitual way of life. It's an ongoing lifestyle. I'm walking with the Lord this morning. I'm depending on the Spirit. I'm asking the Spirit, give me the words, give me the power to get through my day, my ups and downs. And then I wake up the next morning and I'm walking with the Lord, asking the Lord for the power and the words to get through the day. And the way you walk side by side with our Heavenly Father is you implement an opportunity to have conversation with God. That's what prayer is. That's what Bible study is. Every day I wake up and I'm going to implement a discipline so that before anything else, I get right by walking with God. I'm preparing to walk with God. Or as the psalmist said, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Expectation for what? For God to move. I'm going to walk. I'm going to wait in expectation, and I'm walking and I'm waiting. It's more than one step. It's walking, it's waiting in expectation. And as you wait for expectation, God renews your mind and renews your heart, and that identity as you do so becomes so strong that you will not be held to your desires. What do you want most? A godly marriage, financial freedom, and impactful legacy? The greater reward almost always takes more time. It's walking by the Spirit, not running, but walking. Depending on God moment by moment leads to the greater reward. So none of us have the willpower to become who we're supposed to become. The secret is self-control. If you want that, you know what that is? That's a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is fruit of the Spirit. It is not the fruit of your willpower. And so let's do this. Disciplines, personal disciplines, God uses to catalyze your faith. But to begin, it starts with identity. It's surrendering to the life that God has for you. And when you do that, as you follow, you're going to see following Jesus makes your life better, and it makes you better at life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is an easy thing to say on a Sunday morning, but it's a hard thing to live out when we're feeling the pressure. Sometimes the pressure is somewhere within us because we have enough voices inside of us that we listen to. And so, Lord, I pray that to follow you, that you will clear away the static in our life and be able to hear your voice so clear and so loud that our walk with you will be the real reward. And so, Heavenly Father, help us to walk with you. And in doing so, Lord, that we'll experience a surrendered life, a life with you. In your name, amen.